We're back to questions that Jesus asked. As you look for them in the book of Luke, all of us are familiar with children asking one question after another as though they never run out of questions. Almost every other statement is a question to an adult. And you say, why do they keep asking so many questions? Well, because they don't know anything. And they feel like as they look at us, the adult, well, we are the expert, and we ought to have the answer. And the fastest way I know of to learn how to do something, to find out an answer, is just ask somebody to show you or to tell you. I posed a question recently to a number of people who were in the woodworking profession. I just went down woodworkers in the Yellow Pages. I call up tool manufacturers and salesmen. I'd ask them this question. No one could give me the answer. The question, how can you cut a perfect 6-inch circle without putting a hole in the center of the wood? Either all the way through or part way through. How can you cut out a perfect 6-inch circle? And no one said, well, I am so good with a saw that I can cut free-handed a perfect circle. And I sure cannot cut a perfect circle. Though drawn perfect with a compass, I cannot with a saber saw, bandsaw, scroll saw, any other kind of saw, I cannot cut a perfect circle. Now there are bits made that'll cut a perfect circle, but normally they have a bit in the middle that pulls it on down in the wood, so that puts a hole in the center. You can put a hole in the bottom and do a dial joist to be one of these, but you still got a hole in the bottom. How can you cut a perfect hole without a circle without putting a hole in it? Now, there must be a way, but I haven't found anybody yet with the expertise to tell me how to do it. And so when we ask questions, we hope that the person we ask knows the answer. And if I am asked the question, I hope I have enough information that I'm not embarrassed and that I can also answer the question. I've noticed on some of these quiz programs where they have various categories from which to pick, and sometimes they will list Bible questions. That's the last category they go to. I guess the reason is they feel unsure that if they pick that category, they're not going to know the answers, because one thing they have not studied is the Bible. And sometimes I find the questions are very simple. You would think they could be answered by even small children in Sunday school, such as, how many plagues did God send on Egypt? If you ask a Jewish person that, if you ask a Jewish child that, he would probably, with no doubt, if you ask a person during the days of Jesus, surely they would quickly tell you 10, for that's something all Jews would know. There's another question that probably all Jews living during the time of Christ could also answer without a moment's hesitation, especially among adults and those who were religious leaders in Israel. It concerned the matter of a person known as the Messiah. As you know, he would one day come to the nation of Israel. This Messiah was known to, when he comes, be a king. He would sit on the throne, govern the nation of Israel. Secondly, he would be a mighty military leader, that he would take on the enemies of Israel, which at this time was the Roman Empire, and he would be successful in battle, leading the nation of Israel out of conquest, or out of being conquered into conquest. He would also be a descendant of King David. That is, he would be an heir to the throne of David, and when he came and gained the political power, he was set upon the throne. Now, Christ's next question focuses attention on this descendant of David, who was going to be the Messiah. So now let's go to Luke chapter 20, verse 41. Here's the question. How say you, or how say the people, King James says they, but that's who they refers to. How say the people that Christ is going to be David's son? You want to hold your finger here. Turn back to Matthew. We have the very same account, though, given by Matthew. But he gives us a little bit more information than Luke does. Anyway, the only difference is David said by the Spirit. So Jesus and Matthew asked the question, who is the Messiah the son of? That's the question that you find in Matthew. Who is the Messiah going to be the son of? And the answer in Matthew is David. Matthew 22. I'm going there yet. All right. The question is, what think you of Christ? Now, let me make something real clear to you. Christ, he's not asking the question here, what do you think about me? Because we always refer to Jesus Christ as Christ, and that's true. But the word Christ is a title, it's not a name. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah. In Greek, the word is Christ. So depending on who you're talking to, a Jew or a Gentile, that is a Roman or a Jew, the Roman will say, using the Greek language, he will say Christ. The Jew would say Messiah. So Jesus asked the question here, what do you think of the Messiah? Tell me, whose son is he? Who will be the father of the Messiah? And they quickly answer him without a moment's hesitation, he will be the son of David. Now let's go back to Luke 20:41. So Jesus asks him the question, what are your opinions of the Messiah? And they tell him that he is going to be the son of David. Now, their answer was correct as far as it went. The problem was they did not give a full answer to the question. There had been a number of prophets in the Old Testament, primarily Isaiah, who had said that there would be another indicator of the Messiah. Besides being the son of David, there would be something else. Now, I would think it's strange for God to say that the Messiah, when he comes, will be the son of David and tell them no more. How would I recognize the Messiah? Do you realize how many descendants of David there would be now? Hundreds, thousands. Every time a boy, baby born in the line of David, he could say, well, this could be him, but how will I know? Every son could be a descendant of David, could be the Messiah. Surely God would give us more to go on than he will be a descendant of David. And yes, there was another way that you could find out if this was truly the Messiah. The trouble is, it was King David who told them how to do it, how you would recognize the Messiah. But as they read what King David had said, they couldn't understand him. And so I would assume they just ignored it. Maybe they said David didn't mean what he said. Or maybe David was confused about what he said. Or maybe what David said is absolutely impossible. It can't be done. So they could not explain the words of David in any rational way, so I guess they just sort of dismissed what he said. But he did tell them, when the Messiah comes, you'll be able to recognize him this way. And they said, no way. It doesn't make any sense. And Jesus' question deals with this thing David said that no one seems to understand. Now, verse 42. Jesus quotes Psalm 110:1, which are the words of David. Here's what David said. It is a real puzzler now. God's not talking to David in his statement. Who's God talking to? And here's what threw you. Through the Jesus, it won't throw you. God is talking to God. Wait a minute. All right, listen to it. How say that Christ is David's son? Now, David himself said in the book of Psalms, in Matthew it said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David said this. In other words, as David was making up this psalm, God inspired his thoughts, and David wrote these words. I'm not sure even David understood clearly what he was saying. Here's what he said. And David himself said in the book of Psalms, chapter 110, verse 1, the Lord, capital L, the Lord. You say, well, that's God, okay? The Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord said to David's Lord. Now, how many lords are there? We only have one God in the Old Testament. We only have one God in the Bible, but there's one God. And yet David said, the Lord God said to my God. That is kind of confusing, is it not? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Now that would be in heaven. This one Lord says to the other Lord, who is David's Lord, you come and sit in heaven until I make your enemies your footstool. David therefore called him Lord. If that's the case, how can we call him David's son? And Matthew says they couldn't answer Christ's question. They couldn't understand what he was saying. Now, David knew this because it was inspired of God to say it, but it sure doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Who is this Lord of David, and who is this Lord that's talking to the Lord of David, telling him this, come sit at my right hand till I make you enemies my footstool? Because we know God can produce a human, but a human can't produce a God. And he is David's son. Now, there's no doubt about that. That part of the story is true. Well, how do you get David's son from being a human being to be the Lord of David, the God of David? That means you're going to have to make him into a God. How is that possible? Literally speaking, the verse reads like this. The Lord Jehovah says to the Lord Adonai. There are three names for God in the Old Testament. Same God has three names. Jehovah, Elohim, and Adonai. Here Jehovah is talking to Adonai. Strange language. God of the Bible is spoken of with these three names. Same God, three names. And you and I know now that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm three persons, body, soul, and spirit. There's three me's, three you's. It's three of us. But I'm still all one person. So is God. And so God is saying the way you want to identify the Messiah is find a son of David who will also be the God of David. You say, impossible. That cannot be. As you know and I know, this is not the first time that God tried to explain this to these people. Go if you're real quickly to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Again, how do you recognize the Messiah? There's the same story explained to us. God says, here's how you'll do it. Oh, you know the story now. God's going to give you a sign. What's the sign? Behold, a virgin, a human woman, who normally gives birth to human children. And guess who that woman was? Mary. And guess who was one of the descendants of David? Mary. You follow me? All right. Here's the sign. This virgin will give birth to a normal, natural man. But you're going to call him Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? In Matthew 1:23, it tells you, God is with us. Look, if you will, at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. That's a normal, natural human child. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. And now notice this one. He shall be called the Mighty God. This baby, who is a natural born man, is going to be called the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now notice. And he shall sit upon the throne of David. God told him exactly what would happen and how it would happen. And you and I, as we approach Christmas now, we understand this whole puzzle about the incarnation, that God the Son came down through a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, was conceived by Mary, and was born, and thus Jesus Christ was truly a man through Mary, but he was also fully God. He was the Son of Man, in a sense being a human being, but he was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was two things. He was man and he was God. Jesus had no problem proving to the people that he was a man. Just look at him. His problem was convincing them he was God. How did he do this? He did those things only God could do. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He walked on water. He controlled nature. Only God can do that kind of thing. And yet they wouldn't believe him. But he did those things. He read your mind ahead of time. Tell you what you're even thinking. Boy, he spoke it. Only God can do that. So time and again, he would tell them the things that God would be identified with as being God. And he was saying, I am the Messiah, gentlemen. I am God. Look at what I'm doing. John the Baptist sent the question of his disciples to Jesus. Are you the Messiah? And he said, go back and tell them what I'm doing. Find some man that can do what I'm doing. And you can't, people. You can't. Because that's only something the Lord can do. And so God says here, and this question he's asking here, gentlemen, how can you say David, the Messiah is David's son? At the same time, David himself said that his son would be the Lord, would be his Lord. And the Jews couldn't figure it out. But you and I understand that. And did you know, folks, this is one of the biggest hang-ups that a lot of folks have today with Christianity. You must accept Jesus Christ as Lord to be saved. That's the key. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jehovah reigns over creation. God the Father reigns over his creation. Jesus now sits at the Father's right hand. The right hand is always a hand of authority and power. God the Father uses his power to control creation. God the Son, sitting beside him, has the power to control redemption and salvation. God the Son is Lord over salvation. Now, he decides, the Father decides what's going to happen in this world as far as creation goes. The Son decides who will and who will not be forgiven of their sins and be saved. He is the Lord over redemption. If anybody is to be saved, their sins forgiven, they must deal with Him as the Lord. And that's why no other religion will work, because no other religion has a God that controls redemption. They have gods, but they're false gods. And so when a person comes to be saved, they say, well, I want to be forgiven, I want to be saved, I want to go to heaven. Fine. Do you want to make Him your Lord? David did. You know, when Mary went to see Elizabeth and tell her that she was pregnant, and John the Baptist jumped in the womb, Elizabeth was also pregnant. And Elizabeth, this is interesting, and Elizabeth, if I can find it real quick, look at Luke 1:41. I want you to notice what Elizabeth says. I never saw this till today. Luke 1:41. When Elizabeth heard the salutation, that is, Mary told her that she was going to have the Messiah. Notice, her own baby, which was John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, which tells me that babies in the womb understand what's going on outside. That's another sermon. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And she is the mother. Now notice, she is going to be the mother of my Lord. She'll be the mother of my Lord. Elizabeth said, this baby in that womb is going to be my God. Says the same thing. And a lot of people have a hang up with letting Jesus Christ be the Lord. You say, why? Lord means ruler. Lord means king. Lord means authority. That I must put myself under Jesus Christ as my authority. And He has then the right to tell me what to do, since I am a subject to the king. And that's why a person gives their life to Christ. That giving of their life to Christ makes Him the Lord of their life. He takes it over. He changes it, gives it a new birth, and He dominates that life, controls that life. And we become a part of His kingdom. The Messiah is still coming to this earth. But in the meantime, we can make Him our Lord. We better make Him our Lord in this lifetime, because He is the one who has authority over redemption and salvation, and no one else. So David was telling a great truth here. He is my son, and yet he'll be the Lord. And God explains how. The divine Son comes down to earth, takes on human flesh, and He is the Lord of salvation. Father, we're thankful this day. And though this is a great mystery we deal with today, it is one yet that is not too difficult to understand. And we now understand that we must not only recognize Him as being the Lord, but we must also accept Him as our personal Lord. A personal decision that each of us must make on our own. No one can make it for us. He is Lord whether I make the decision or not, but He's not my Lord until I make that decision. And we pray Thy blessing upon each of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.